still disappointed that nobody's accepted the Liger as a mascot slash nickname. It's really ridiculous to me. Don't you think, Matty?
It makes me sick.
That's it. You know what? If we had a mascot, it'd be a Liger. We need to get some t-shirts made up with the Zone Ligers. Nobody else is going to do it. We're going to jump on it. You people had your chance. It's 11:38. We go to the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. It has been an interview-laden show. We saved the best for last. His name is Michael Felder. He's with Bleacher Report. Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm good, good, good. Despite the fact the Razorbacks are in a six-game skid, everything is fine. Yes.
Besides that.
Yes, Matt says even by his underwear standards, this is a long skid.
Oh! Wow.
That's disgusting. Okay, so can Arkansas right the ship this week or at some point before the end of the season, do you think?
I think it's got to be next week. I look at this Ole Miss team, and they're sitting there at 5-3. I know that they're in the hunt, obviously, to go to a bowl game. Ole Miss wants to get things right for themselves. They've had their own issues. Obviously, the heartbreaking loss to Texas A&M was a big one. They played well against LSU. They pulled out a win. They're able to get to beat up Idaho. I think they're looking to continue that, get right, going into the end of their season. But they've got an opportunity to kind of shake things up and get their name into the mix for a better bowl game. So I think it's going to be tough this weekend. I think next weekend, though, Mississippi State, two teams that are both, you know, looking for a way to get to salvage the season. I think that's the win. That's the game where Arkansas finds a way to win.
Okay, Arkansas is a 17-point underdog. I know this is not really a gambling segment, but do you think Arkansas covers the Vegas number? Because we sure do. Maybe we're just getting some secondhand smoke from the Toronto mayor, but we believe that they will cover the Vegas number this week. Any thoughts on that?
I don't know if crack has secondhand smoke. But okay. Two.
I don't either, but I'm just guessing.
Don't you inhale the smoke?
I don't know.
Isn't that what crack is?
They did look better against Auburn. I look at this, though, and I think that I think covering the number is going to be an interesting one. It depends really how Bo Wallace plays. I think if Bo Wallace comes out and he's able to find Treadwell and find Moncrief, then they're going to have trouble covering that number. But I think if you can slow Ole Miss down, make them play at your pace, then absolutely it covers within the realm of possibility.
Four top 10 teams facing off in two separate games, the best Thursday night in college football history, at least in the non-bowl season. So thoughts on the two huge games Thursday night, which is certainly the best night of the week, and I never thought I would say that over Saturday.
Well, I think Fox and CBS, Fox and ESPN decided, you know what, we're not going to compete with Alabama and LSU. We'll put these on Thursday. I look at this game, the Baylor game. I think we're going to see Oklahoma try to slow it down. Go old school a little bit. Try to punch them in the mouth and play football that way. I'm interested to see how Oklahoma does. I think Oklahoma can win as long as they make Baylor convert third downs, something the Bears have struggled with when forced into action. On the other side, I think that Oregon-Stanford is, again, going to be a game about third downs, but more importantly going to be about Stanford's offensive line solving the riddle of that Oregon-shifting defensive front, and then Stanford trying to lean on those guys over the course of 60 minutes. We saw UCLA put together a very solid 48 minutes of football against Oregon. I think Stanford's got the other 12 minutes. I think they've got an opportunity to play 60 against this team. Should be a close ball game.
Okay, so you're picking Oklahoma?
I'm picking Oklahoma.
You
are.
Wow, going against you guys.
I'm all upset.
Okay. All right. I don't know about that. You like Stanford, too?
Yeah, I'm going all upset.
I love it.
Both of these teams, I think Oklahoma, in terms of what they are as a football team, they're realizing that they're a running football team now. They're a team that wants to be the bully. And Baylor, we saw them against Kansas State. A game at Kansas State, if they had a quarterback that could throw a little bit or an offense that had any other weapon besides just Daniel Sands, they would have beat Baylor because mm-hmm. they forced Baylor to convert third downs, and the Bears couldn't do it. I think Oklahoma, with more weapons, with a capable quarterback, not just on the ground but through the air, Oklahoma has the ingredients to beat Baylor. I think they're going to slow this game down, and we're going to see this Baylor team get frustrated the way they were against Kansas State.
Okay, so by that rationale, that means you like LSU over Alabama this weekend.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
No,
all right.
I like Alabama in that football game. I think the big difference is I look at LSU and I see so much confusion in the back end, and especially with respect to the secondary, guys losing wide receivers. You got multiple players where Ronald Martin or Jalen Mills, they're looking at the other safety. They're looking at the safety, looking at Craig Lawson, or looking at each other going, what are you doing? I thought you had him. I got him. I thought you were supposed to have him. You can't do that against A.J. McCarron. They're going to find a way to get Norwood loose. Obviously, Amari Cooper's trying to come alive after having a really bad first half of the year. So I think they're going to try and find those wide receivers. And then I think the run game is going to help them out. But this is one of those situations where I look at LSU's team, pound for pound, player for player, great talent. This year, though, haven't put it together the way they have in years past.
This is going to sound like I'm joking. Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com, joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. This is going to sound like I'm joking. I'm not. I truly think the SEC schools should get together, all the schools that are not Alabama, pool their money, and put it in Nick Saban's pocket to leave town. I am not even kidding. There was a story that came out today that apparently his agent said only Texas would intrigue him after he has said repeatedly, nobody's intriguing me at this point. I'm 61. I'm too old to start over, I believe, was what the quote was.
$13 million signing bonus, compliments of the SEC.
Yes. And he's 61. 2 years, take that. He's on a beach in Caribbean.
Nick, you're making it unfair. Please go away. Do you think there's anything to that, or do you think he ends his career at Alabama?
I think he ends his career at Alabama. I think the thing to that is that it's the job that might intrigue him, and I think intrigue is code word for give me more money, Alabama, and I'll stay here and we'll keep winning. The thing with the Texas job that I don't think a lot of folks get or understand or want to understand is how much goes with it. The amount of things – Nick Saban already hates the stuff that Alabama asks him to do, and they don't ask him to do a lot. He hates the coach's carousel. He hates shaking hands with people. He hates doing shows. At Texas, you have that times four or five. You're talking about more shows, more access from the Longhorn. He doesn't want people around his football team, except the Longhorn Network requires that. He doesn't want to do those things. He doesn't want to do interviews with people, but the Longhorn Network requires those things. He doesn't want people to get to see his practice. He doesn't want people to get to see his meeting room. He doesn't want any of those things. He certainly doesn't want to talk to boosters and tell them that he likes them and he thinks they're great and spend time with them. And Texas requires all those things. I think those are the things that are going to decide that he stays at Alabama. Because I think overall, even though Alabama's fans as a whole, you know, they're a needy bunch as well, they don't need nearly as badly as Texas fans do. And I think that's going to be a major factor in this.
So, Michael, the fact that boosters of Texas contacted his agent would be a negative for Nick.
Yeah, there's folks that like the medal, and every school has them. The problem is at Texas, they feel so important. We're talking about politicians and, you know, folks that involve everything from, you know, local Dallas to Houston politics to right up to the state legislature. Those are the folks that get their hands into things. And you don't want to have to deal with those people. And I don't think Nick Saban wants to deal with an athletic director who's brand new either. So it's one of those situations where I look at it and just from talking to people that have worked with the guy and from what I've read and understand about him, the idea that he would have to work with ESPN on a deeper basis sounds like something that would absolutely repulse him. And I just can't imagine a guy who all he wants to do is get up, coach his football team, go talk to high school kids to get them to come play football for him, and then go to sleep. I can't imagine asking him to do more than he already does at Alabama and that being okay with him.
Michael, Florida has 4 wins on the season. They have left South Carolina, Florida State, Georgia Southern, and this week, Vanderbilt. This week could be the key to their postseason success, assuming the fact, of course, that they're not going to beat South Carolina or Florida State, which I think the majority of people would agree. Maybe you wouldn't. Do they beat Vanderbilt this week? Do they make a bowl game?
I think they beat Vanderbilt and make a bowl game. I don't think they're going to beat South Carolina or Florida State. Barring some sort of major miracle. Just listening to Brent Pease yesterday in his press conference just sounded like this is a team that they're so down in the dumps. They don't know. They cannot find a recipe. They don't know what to do next. I think they're going to find a way to slow down Jordan Matthews, that's what you have to do to beat Vanderbilt, is stop Jordan Matthews. I think they can do that. And then I think they're going to run the ball a little more, try to get heavy on the ground and score some points against Vanderbilt. But this is not the season that Will Muschamp wanted to have. You talk about a team that went from being sky high, going to the Sugar Bowl, and ever since then they've just continued to tumble, starting with the loss to Louisville, and then they've fallen down the ladder almost every single week since then. Even in wins, absorbing injuries that cost them so dearly that those, even with a win, they felt like a loss.
I'm going to guess that next year's four-team playoff will not be nearly as entertaining as this year's four-team playoff would have been. If you were running things, and it's all up to you, which four teams are in the playoff right now?
If I was running things, I'd go with the top four. I think Florida State, Oregon, and Alabama should have all been number one seeds in general. I think those teams are all really, really good, the three best teams in the country. And then I put Ohio State in there. I think that obviously that Baylor's a name that's going to get mentioned. I think Stanford's a name that probably should be mentioned. But I think I got to go with Ohio State. I really think that in terms of caliber of athlete, what they bring to the table, they're the team that's going to be able to give more squads a game than a team that, like Baylor, that still has some question marks on the defense side of the ball. And like we said, has trouble converting third down.
Our boy Barrett Salee got into a little bit of a Twitter fight this week after the Arkansas-Auburn game about the alleged fake by a linebacker at Auburn. What do you say, fake or no fake?
Yeah, I mean, it looked questionable, but who am I to question somebody's injury? If he said he was hurt. It's one of those things that you absolutely have to keep a lookout for and watch for the prevalence of it all. I think that's the biggest thing. I know a lot of folks like to point to the one instance, but for me, it's about watching as it happens. Like the California game a couple years ago where players were going down, jogging off, coming back on, and it was repetitive. I think that's the part where you get into trouble. Not just seeing a guy do it and then that could be it. Watching guys do it repetitively and doing it across the defensive line, different players going down to signify a stoppage in play.
Michael, appreciate it. Follow him on BleacherReport.com. We'll catch you in a couple of weeks, and huge week. And we're either going to be praising you or calling you out for those upset picks on Thursday. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. You guys take it easy. Right. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. That's Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com. And I will say this. I don't know what's going to play out with the Stanford-Oregon game. I don't even think that's going to be as close as the Baylor-Oklahoma game.
I have a question. Didn't he not just say that he was going to take Oklahoma over Baylor?
Yes, he's taken upsets in both those games.
And in his top four, he put in Baylor.
No, did not.
No, he did.
No, he didn't. He put in Ohio State. He said a lot of people will say Baylor. He put Ohio State. He put the
but
top
he's
four teams.
Got Oregon getting beat tomorrow night. And he had Oregon as a top seed.
Exactly. That's the confusing part.
But then I swear he did say Ohio State. I know that he said that. And then he said
a lot of people will say Baylor. A lot of people will say Stanford is what he said.
My apologies.
That's okay. DeAnthony Thomas, Oregon Duck. I'm not sure why he's yammering this week. They already have enough pressure on them playing Stanford. But he's talking. And I don't know why, but so be it.
I feel like we're a better team. We're just like a new generation of players. And, you know, we just got a lot of guys that can contribute to the offense. And that's what makes this offense so dynamic. I feel like, you know, this team, we should at least put up 40.
Oh, boy. You do?
40.
I don't know that I would be throwing numbers out there on Stanford week.